Jesus said to the blind man who asked that he might see, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" The question is, do we believe he is able? I'm Brian Patrick. As we begin our series on the thought-provoking things Jesus said, God is able, this time on Crossing the Goal. It is great to have the Crossing the Goal team together again as we kick off a brand new series on the thought-provoking things that Jesus said in Scripture. Remember our Crossing the Goal team, Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach, former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. When Jesus spoke, people listened, at least we're supposed to, and I'm really excited about this series, Peter, because I know there's a lot to learn here.
Yeah, I am too. It's great to be back, you guys, for another series. Yeah, this has really been fun doing this, and I hope all those who are watching have been able to tune into our previous shows because they're good. These are going to be even better. We want to talk about what Jesus said to us because, as the scripture said, when Jesus spoke, people said he spoke with authority in a way they'd never heard anyone else quite speak that way. And he spoke with authority, and that authority they experienced as power in their life, a power to change their life. So when Jesus speaks, it's a game changer. And that's what we're going to find out on our shows in this series.
You know, you guys, when we go to God in prayer, a lot of times, and ask him to do something for us, do we really believe deep down in our heart that he can accomplish this? Or do we doubt?
You know, I think for us to be able to recognize this, we're going to sit down in this series and we're going to encounter the person of Jesus Christ. We're going to look, and we're in our mind's eyes to be able to look him eye to eye and say, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying. Because when we encounter Christ, that makes all the difference. Because as we meet Jesus and we hear what he's saying, we take that seriously. It's not just some figure in the past, but we're actually encountering him. All of a sudden, his words do have the power you're talking about, Peter. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we stand before him and say, you're actually asking for a response from me. 2,000 years removed, you want me to respond to you, Lord.
It's not a rhetorical question. Jesus said, do you believe I am able? We have a game plan for God is able with Curtis and Peter next here on Crossing the Goal.
Hello, we're back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. And as we're looking at some of the statements that Jesus makes, we're looking at a comment, God is able. Yeah. So we're focusing on that. And Peter, we turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 and following to get into this. Why don't you lead us through that passage so you set some context?
Good. Jesus wants us to know God in a particular way, that with God all things are possible, and God is able to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished in our lives for his glory. 9:27. And as Jesus passed from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of God." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And they were healed. Now, here you have two guys who are facing an impossible circumstance. They've got a problem. They can't see. They want to be freed from that bondage, that inability to see. And they go to the Lord because they know that his word has authority. It has power. The word had came to them. And he said, this maybe is the guy who can free us. And so they come to him and say, Jesus, can you please heal us? Can you give me sight? Give me the power to see again. And Jesus has one question for him. Do you believe that I'm able? And he wants that orientation from all of us. He's calling it forth from each and every one of us to be able to look at him in a way that does justice to who he actually is.
You know, you can almost imagine, Peter, this conversation. You got these blind guys, and they're talking with one another, and they've heard about Jesus. Yeah. And they've heard about the miracles and the healings, and they're having this conversation, and they are desperate. Yeah. You heard about this guy, Jesus. I mean, he's healing people. Yeah. I mean, if we could figure out how to meet him, we could ask him. And so all of a sudden they muster up the courage, they figure out a way to get before Jesus, and they ask. And Jesus asked this piercing question back at him, do you believe that I am able to do this? And it's got to touch right at their heart. And it's a jump. Yes, I do. And with that, Jesus blesses it, and they're restored. What an amazing act of faith that is.
And then he makes a huge point for all of us. Your faith, he said in other places, your faith has essentially healed you. Your trust in me, your surrender to me. This is a key part of living the Christian life, of being able to live in that posture of surrender, to lean on God in such a way that if he wasn't there, you'd fall flat on your face. You're putting all your eggs in his basket. Our father Abraham was, I love this scripture, it talks about Abraham being our father in faith, essentially, and that Jesus raised him up, God raised him up to give us an example of how we're supposed to live.
I mean, look at Abraham, because in a certain sense, we recognize when Jesus is doing his public ministry, he and all of those who are hearing him all have salvation history in their mind. They understand, they're faithful Jews, and Jesus is very aware of this. He's aware that Abraham's been called as our father, and Abraham models this. And if we look back into salvation history, Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham's called, we see that there's a 75-year-old man who is living an ordinary life. He's trying to be a faithful guy, and he's lived a full life, 75 years old, and all of a sudden God intervenes in his life and says, Abram, his name hasn't been changed to Abraham yet, Abram, I want you to leave where you live and go to a land that I will show you. You can imagine this conversation with his wife Sarai. I'm 75 years old, it's time to retire, but no, Sarai, I was at prayer, and God has called us to move. Nobody moved back then. Today, we move all over the place. Nobody moved back then. You lived with your people to be protected. We're going to leave now in our old age and go, we don't know where, to a land he's going to show us. And it begins in this amazing adventure with God that opens his faith, tests his faith, builds his faith as he moves along through his life.
I always love the image. You know, here's this leader of a clan, and they've got their land, they've got their cattle, they've got everything, and they've got families, and he's responsible for them ultimately. And he encounters God. Now, he's got nobody in the clan he can go to because no one's ever experienced what he experienced. So he's got to come back and say, I heard from God. And they're like, okay, you know, you heard from God. All right, well, what's he telling you? Well, we're all supposed to leave. Leave what? Leave what we've built, our home, our security, everything. All right, where are we going? Well, I don't know where we're going. Well, what do you mean you don't know where we're going? Going to the land of promise. So we're leaving all this on a promise? We're banking on something? And he said, yeah, actually, we are. We're going to go. So they pick up and leave. And the other promise God gave him was they're going to multiply them, make them a great nation. And he was going to do it by giving them a child. And at their age, the plumbing normally doesn't work. It doesn't usually happen that way. And they knew it. His wife laughed when she heard it, Sarah, because she was barren. She was sterile. She couldn't have a child.
Well, not only that, he left at 75. The child didn't come when he was 75 or 76 or 77. Many years later, at 90, and all of a sudden there's a promise, I will give you a son. And they're so amazed, it's laughter, they name their son Laughter, Isaac. And so they finally receive his son, and God promises them, this is the one through whom the nation will arise and there'll be a multitude. And then after all this time receiving his son, God tests him one last time. Take your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice. He's being called to give his son up in sacrifice, to kill his son. And it's only because God has already promised that the blessing's going to come through Isaac, that he's able to come up and say, even if you're going to raise him from the dead, you have gotten me to the point where I believe everything you say. That's the kind of faith God is looking for from each of us, that we'll follow him even when it's beyond our understanding, to be able to say, I trust in you, Lord, because you are able. Brian?
All right, thanks, Curtis and Peter. Good game plan. Coach, isn't it comforting to know that God is truly able?
He is able, even for me to be able to put up with these two guys. He is able.
Well, let's mix it up with them down on the Red Zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We've made it to the Red Zone here on Crossing the Goal. God is able, as we continue the series on the thought-provoking things that Jesus said. Coach, you have found in your personal life how able God really is.
Yeah, let me share a couple personal stories that I think will be apropos for what we're talking about, God is able. One, we had two boys coming out of the blocks, mm-hmm. and then my wife gets pregnant again, and you know, of course, we were praying a healthy child, but in my heart, I really wanted a girl, too. I said, Lord, if you're able, give us a girl. And the nurse, back in those days, they didn't have ultrasound or anything like that. They said, well, I've been doing this for a long time, and this is going to be a boy. I said, no, it's not going to be a boy. And we sort of got after it. And the day came, and my wife comes out, and they say, it's a girl. God is able. And then the other one is more recently that I had a heart attack, and I was laying on the table, and I knew that this is the time. It looked like I was going to go, and I just said, Lord, if be your will, I'd like to stay. I don't want to leave my wife with these two older men to take care of my dad and my father-in-law and four grandsons, but if not, I accept it. And of course, he says, you're not getting off the hook that easy, Dad. You got to stay yeah. down there.
Yeah, or so work to do.
Of course, here I am sitting here, but yeah. I just had a sense. Yes. I just had a sense that he was going to do something.
Yeah.
And the more that God does in our lives, the more we see that God is able, the easier it is for us to believe that.
Yeah. And it's important. It's really important for us to be able to see that when you say God is able, he's able to do what? Well, he's able to save us. He's able to forgive us. He's able to provide for us. He's able to lift us when we're in the pit. He's able to hear our prayers. He's able to establish a relationship with him. And he wants us to really know that and lean into it and live it with all our hearts.
Well, I've seen it in my own life, Peter. I mean, my life was a train wreck when I was a 20-year-old man. And I was away from the Lord and didn't know him. I was living in the habits I had were so broken, and it was breaking all my relationships. And I was lost. I had no sense of purpose in my life. And I encountered Christ, and he radically transformed my life. I became a different person. I was able to live in a relationship with the people that I knew and loved in a very different way. And even things like my grade point average started to go up. Mm-hmm. And everything began to
That's
change.
That's a miracle, man.
It was a miracle. Yeah. Well, I only had one way to go. But to be able to have that sense. But I need to know that now because yeah. I still need radical transformation in my life.
Yeah.
The very specific things are different because he's removed some of the boulders that were in my life 20 years ago. But I still have many rocks that I need to get off yeah. the path. Because I still need his help. And do I still trust him that he is able now to make me into the man he wants me to be? And that's an ongoing challenge.
It really is. I mean, so often in our lives, we come up against it. I go to the jail once a week in Ann Arbor.
They let you out?
Yeah, yeah they let me out. Yeah, I got to check sweet. In every week.
There he comes.
I got an ankle bracelet.
Dragging a ball.
The camera. Don't bring the camera down. Don't bring it down. Anyway, and there was a guy that I was meeting with one-on-one who's just story I can't go through because it's just a horribly difficult life this guy lived. And he got himself in very serious trouble. Everything bad that could happen to a young guy happened to him and the kind of the family he grew up in. And he said, you know, I've never ever experienced God in my life, never. And he said, I tried, so I'm just not there. I'm just not, and I'm sitting, he's on one side of the glass, I'm on the other, we're having a private conversation. And I was talking to him and sharing the love of God and reading from scripture and saying, this is a promise for you, and he's just staring blankly at me. And inside, I really felt like he's just too far gone and nothing's going to happen. And in some ways, I was saying God's not able because he's yeah. too wounded. He's right. just too broken, this guy, and he's too hard. And at the end of it, at a certain point, we were talking, and the Lord just gave me a little word for him because he was describing his life. And he's a guy who never finished high school and all this, but he's actually smart. He's actually a smart guy. And we were talking, and I said, you know, James, you're a smart guy. You are a very bright guy. God has made you that way. And you impressed me. And I started saying that. And all of a sudden, he gets his whole demeanor changed. Like, I am? I am? I said, God gave you that gift. He loves you. And all of a sudden, he just, that simple thing, he just starts crying. He's a big oaf of a guy covered with tattoos. I came back a week later. We're at the general session with about 30 of these guys. And he's got his hands in the air. He's happy as can be. He's singing. And after I said, what happened? He goes, I met Jesus. Mm. I said, when did you meet Jesus? Well, you were there. I said, really? It happened when we were there? I said, yeah. He said, Jesus just touched my heart. And it really moved him. But I was sitting there thinking, he's too far gone. Way. This is just too big. I can't persuade it to happen, you know?
This is the hidden secret of the Catholic faith, is that we need to invite people to encounter Christ. I was sharing with you all about a woman who, a campus minister in a different organization other than Focus, sharing the story of being out on campus one of her first days, and she's sitting down with this gal who's covered with tattoos and piercings, and she's trying to say, okay, I should start a conversation. She says, hey, how you doing? And they start talking, and the gal reveals, she says, I'm a vampire. and this gal's just new on campus, and she's thinking, this gal I just met's claiming to be a vampire. What's up? And so she says, well, tell me about that. And she goes, well, for several years now, I've been killing animals and drinking their blood. Wow. And then about 6 months ago, I tried to kill myself, and it didn't work. I think I might live forever. And she goes, yeah, in the last year or so, I've been gathering women around me and teaching them how to be vampires too, because I think I have to live in community. And this gal in her first week on campus is thinking, I don't know what to say to that. And then she just asked a basic question, are you finding joy in this? And the gal says, no. She goes, if you don't mind, I think you're so close to the truth. The truth is that you were meant to live forever. And you're meant to live in community, and you're also meant to live on blood, but not the blood of animals, the blood of Jesus Christ. This gal is pure. She encounters Christ, and she gives her life to Christ. So the next day they agree to meet. They're going to start learning what it means to follow Christ. And the gal says, I want to learn, but before we do that, can we just go talk to somebody else and share this good news?
Yeah.
So the two women walk out. They meet the guy, and he's sitting there, and they're talking to him. And he said, have you ever thought about following Jesus Christ? He says, I was raised in a religious home, and I've heard about Jesus, but I don't think God is able to change people's lives. Mm-hmm. And the gal leans over and says, yesterday I was a vampire, and God changed my life.
Oh my! Yeah. Wow.
And the guy gives his life to Christ. God is able. We got to get the word out so people can hear that, because they need to have their lives changed.
You know, it's amazing, the scripture passage that the two blind men came and asked the Lord, spoke to the Lord, are you able to do this for me? And what do you want? We go to him a lot of times in prayer. But do we really believe? Because sometimes, if it doesn't happen right away, we sort of doubt, the Lord never heard me, or he doesn't want this for my life. Maybe James never felt the Lord in their life any kind of way, and you came, you were like the Lord coming to him to give him the hope to go to the Lord, test the Lord, go before him, and it changes. Look at these various stories. We have to trust in faith, because some of the things are off the wall. You say, well, I don't think he can work in this kind of situation. We say, he'll do this, but this is so minuscule. He won't work in this area. He won't work over here. He won't. He can.
We get frustrated when we pray sometimes. Yeah. Like we want God to change his circumstance. Why doesn't he change his circumstance? Well, he's got the end game in mind. He's got a larger picture in mind. He's got our ultimate happiness in mind. He's forming us in love, and he just wants us to know, my grace is sufficient for you. I promise you, I will be with you. I will do the impossible when it's needed on my time. You just have to trust like the apostles did.
I think desperation helps too. I mean, when we go to God in a desperate situation and we know that we don't have any more plans, you know, as long as I have a plan, I'm not going to really rely on God. But when I'm desperate, I go to God, then I have to believe he is able. Otherwise, I have no other alternative.
Yeah.
And this is a cause for prayer. I think we really need to pray that God would open our hearts to his immense power. And I wonder if you might lead us in that prayer as we wrap up the
Zone. I'd be happy to, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
There might be some brothers or sisters watching the program today who are desperate, and you're in a situation that just has a hold of you, and you're afraid, and whether it's addiction or brokenness, whatever it is, we want to be with you right now and unite our prayers with you and declare that Jesus Christ has the power to help you. God is able to lift you and to lead you out. In Jesus' name, we pray for every single person listening to the program today. Lord, that each one of us could know in the depth of our heart the confidence that we as sons and daughters of God, it's ours by our inheritance.
Yes.
The confidence that we can have in you, that you indeed are able. And we confess, Lord Jesus, that you are the Lord of our lives. And all power belongs to you. And we place every situation in our lives in your hands. May you be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is truly able. These guys will get the last word in the End Zone. Next, we'll also go to our email bag here on Crossing the Gold.
It's always good to cross the goal. We're now in the end zone, and we're going to get the last word on God is Able from our team members. But first, let's go directly to our email bag. And from Altoona, Pennsylvania, George Matthews, who had a very serious conversion experience at his mother's funeral, writes, I need a good support group like you guys. Back in my hometown, there are lots of friends and support, but I'm 160 miles away. I do attend church here, but have not really connected with it. Any suggestions, Coach?
Yeah, George, I do have a suggestion. You need to be around men. You're correct in that. What I would recommend to you is go to our website, www.crossingthegoal.com, and press on workout groups, and it'll tell you how to get one started in your parish. Maybe the Lord's calling you to get one started in your parish.
And if you really want to get connected, George, you know, don't wait for people to connect with you. You reach out and maybe get involved in some of the ministries that your parish offers as well. Another email from Lee, this one from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Lee says, I've been learning more and more about my Catholic faith, and it seems the more I learn, the tougher it gets to live that faith. Have any of you dealt with this, and how does one keep on going?
Boy, Lee, I'll tell you, that is a real challenge. And the fact of the matter is there's a kind of a hidden secret about Christianity, about the Catholic faith, and that is it's impossible to live without God's grace. And to remember that while everything we believe is true as Catholics, what's even more fundamental about than what we believe is actually what happened. What happened was God became man, he died for our sins, and he rose from the dead, and he sent us his Holy Spirit so that his Spirit can come and live in us to make it possible to live the teachings of the Catholic faith. And it's that combined truth and grace that allows us to live the victorious Catholic life.
Oh, that's good, and I think what we need, you need to make sure that we're not just taking in the information about what it means to be Catholic, but to have a daily prayer life. To really be praying each day and listening to the Lord and being part of his community that he's providing for you. So you're not walking alone. You're not trying to do this on your own. That's part of God's provision is the brothers and sisters he wants to give us so that we can walk this narrow way together.
And finally, we want to know if you're using the CTG workout materials from our website in your men's group. If you do, send us an email at crossingthegoal.com. And these guys now have the last word on God is Able. Peter?
Thanks, Brian. Just a simple thought. God is able to act in your life. Now, you have an enemy who's standing on your shoulder half the time to say, well, no, I'm exempt from that, not me. God doesn't see my situation. It doesn't see the difficult things that I'm facing in my life. He does. He's with you. And it's time to stand up and believe that you're a son and daughter of God, that this promise is for you as well.
And when we wrestle with that promise, we're actually entering into what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, because realizing this test and being able to accept God's challenge, we're serving, we're following a God who rose from the dead. I mean, talk about overcoming obstacles if you are able. He parted the Red Sea. This is a God who wants to work in our lives, in your life and in my life, in a profound way to change us. And so as we bring these amazing challenges, these obstacles, these overwhelming realities in our life, and they are there, when we bring them to him in faith, he will work miracles in our lives. Trust him.
Guys, put the Lord to the test. If you're struggling with something in your life right now, go to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to help you deal with it. Watch what happens, men.
Thank you, Coach. And if you really believe that God is able, our lives should be lived in a different way. I know that's been my story. Now, Jesus tells us not to worry. St. Paul reinforces that in Philippians 4 by saying, have no anxiety over anything. So next time, as we continue the series on the thought-provoking things that Jesus said in Scripture, do not be anxious. We hope to see you next time here on Crossing the Goal.